Welcome to another episode of Art and Labor. This is the podcast dedicated to the ongoing struggle to survive as an art and or cultural worker. I'm Lucia Love.
I'm OK Fox. A struggle it's been, eh, friend? Eh, old pal?
But, you know, we have a lot of support coming to us from unexpected places. Such as this beautiful positive message that just came out on Instagram from the Art Plug.
I really need some good news.
Yeah, you want to hear some good news?
I can't wait to hear this.
Okay, so the Art Plug says...
Wow, the Art Plug sounds like something I want to plug into.
Yeah, totally. Oh my God, they use emojis with plugs. It's literal.
Wow. That's very creative.
Ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. Thrilled to have been a part of the newly opened Lyft Miami Driver Hub. This project was a big investment by Lyft to create a place to empower their drivers and offer training and support. We teamed up with the homie Remote at Remote ROC to bring the hub to life with exterior and interior murals. Always love working with at Lyft. It's great to have a partner who embraces art, culture, and the community it works in.
I love Lyft, my homie.
Mm-hmm. Wait till you see what we have in store for Miami Art Week in December.
Oh, so fun.
Guys, I can't wait.
I love when creativity and business merge.
Yeah.
And make fun synergistic murals.
What do you think of this shapes?
I love it. It definitely replaces like the need for like comprehensive healthcare and a living wage. Now that I have this fun little headquarters, I feel like I'm a part of the community, and it doesn't matter that I'm getting paid less than minimum wage and less than the cost of my car costs.
Hell yeah, dude. I don't want to struggle against anything. I just want to enter into a sort of rabbit warren environment where I can encounter others who have been traumatized by their work experiences so that we can all drink coffee out of styrofoam cups together before getting back on the road for another 12 hours.
Excuse me, Lucia, this is Lyft, my homie, and they're only using biodegradable straws and cups and
yeah,
such.
Yeah, that's true. My homie Lyft will put coffee inside of a biodegradable straw and close off both the ends, and that's how much coffee you get at the place.
I spilled coffee on my car. Whoops.
Well, now you're not going to get to pick anybody up. Your rating just went way down.
Oh, my rating's gone down, and now I'm not fired because I was never technically an employee, so...
Oh,
you win some, you lose some.
Right. Yeah. Now I just drive for the community, but they're scared of me because I got fired from Lyft. So I just kind of go around and I say, come on, you want this?
Get
you want
in
this
here.
Ride?
Get in here.
Yeah.
I also painted my car to look like the Lyft mural so that I'm like a fun, cool, like geometry
that's
millennial
synergy.
Or whatever.
Dude, that's
I'm
beautiful.
Ready.
Yeah, art cars are where it's at, honestly. Like, I don't know why everybody is fighting so hard for benefits and for, like, any kind of long-term survival.
You could just live in your car.
You could, but what if also your car was so nice to look at that when you people pass you sleeping in your car, they're like, wow, are you an artist?
Excuse me, are you a creative?
Yeah, and they knock on the window and they're like, hey... Hey,
I have this really good idea.
Can
for
I take
a
picture
novel?
Of your car? Can I Instagram your car?
Yeah, just hashtag me. Get me hooked up with a new gig, maybe. Fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck. I don't know.
Yeah. You open you roll down the window of the art car that has become the only place for you to rest your head, and the stench of human misery just pours out of the crack in the window, and people say, whoa, man, I was gonna Instagram your car, but now I'm afraid that you might actually be living here. Why don't you go get
and
a job?
I called the cops instead, and they're on their way.
Oh,
bye.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck blending into the crowd with that ostentatious tin can, you fuck. You goddamn scourge on
my God.
The pleasant society that we have muraled on.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, we took that one to its inevitable conclusion. Hey, let's see the alternative. It. Sounds like the unions are spreading and doing things and on their way to existence. And,
listen.
All across this land.
There's a lot of really sad gigs out there, but the people who have some sort of semblance of hope are the workers who have been increasingly deciding to unionize their workplaces.
Which rules and slaps and totally kicks ass.
It's
and
great.
They're our friends too.
It's
which I feel like I feel like we know celebrities at this point.
Honestly, yeah. Cause it's like it's so fucking sick to see like these actions and like these new things popping up all the time. Like most recently, Uovo unionized, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. the Children's Museum unionized.
Oh, that's cute.
Both, like, that was, like, this week, both of them. Like,
yeah.
It's fucking incredible. Like, and we'll read more about that in a second, but the big news today is that the new museum has authorized a strike.
Oh, yeah. Hey, everybody, don't scab. Both of us are looking for jobs, and neither of us are looking at the new museum.
Never. Not going to touch it. And then if there's some, like, vague description, like, work for this popular institution is looking for blah, blah, blah.
If it pulls off a rubber mask and the new museum is underneath it, run away.
Get out of there.
Push them over in the mud. Push them in the mud and run away.
Yeah. Get out of there. Get out of there. But here, I pulled up the press release, and I'll just, like, I'll read a little bit of it. Let's see. On Thursday, September 26, members of the New Museum Union, Local 2110 UAW, voted 96% in favor of a strike if an agreement if not reached. The union, composed of professional and technical staff, was formed in January after an aggressive but unsuccessful anti-union campaign conducted by the New Museum. After months of negotiations, the museum and the union are still far from settlement on several crucial contract provisions, including fair pay, health benefits, seniority rights, and overtime. Low pay is a universal complaint, particularly in light of disproportionately high executive salaries and the museum's $89 million expansion campaign. Do you want to read the next paragraph?
Oh, sure.
Just switch off here.
Yeah. Barring significant movement by the museum on these and other proposals, the bargaining committee, as authorized by union membership, will set a strike deadline. If a contract is not settled by the strike deadline, the new museum union will go on strike. Unfortunately, the museum's position has been overwhelmingly at odds with both the needs of its employees and its own mission statement. They have disparaged our proposals for equitable salaries, health coverage for all workers, and necessary union rights, said Liz Mann, a visitor services associate at the museum and a member of the union's bargaining committee. Since the staff at the new museum unionized in January 2019 with UAW Local 2110, a union that also represents cultural workers at MoMA, the Brooklyn Academy of Music, the Bronx Museum, the Tenement Museum, and
list
elsewhere.
List them.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Rack them up. Rack them up. Line them up.
Could be your place of employment, too.
Come on. Let's do this.
The new museum has actively opposed the unionizing efforts, beginning with their retainment of anti-union consulting firm Adams, Nash, Haskell, and Sheridan. Names of the devil ahead of the union vote. This last
oh, okay. Yeah, let's just read the whole thing. Let's do it.
Yeah. Escalating
pressure and coordinated action by the union has resulted in some movement at the bargaining table. Following an open letter to the new museum director, Lisa Phillips, signed by the union membership, union members rallied outside the museum during its June 25th exhibition openings along with hundreds of supporters. You might remember our episode there.
Oh, it's almost like we've been participating or something.
I'm just pulling the continuity threads. For those who are new to us, look it up. Who joined in solidarity. Union members have also been distributing information leaflets to museum goers during Thursday night Pay What You Wish hours. The parties expect to bargain intensively all day and possibly over the weekend in an effort to avert a strike. If bargaining breaks down, the union will be calling a meeting of the membership early next week. The museum still has a long way to go towards a fair contract, said Dana Capel, the museum's senior editor and member of the union's bargaining committee.
Dana, whoop whoop.
Hi, Dana.
Hi.
If they remain unwilling to meet our demands for just compensation and working conditions, the union is prepared to strike. Very cool.
That's especially so exciting.
Like, it's such a good time to do this because so much of UAW membership is striking in Detroit.
Yeah.
There's been, like, a lot of, like, our pals that we were hanging out at the climate strike. If you guys didn't hear our last week's episode.
If you listened and you couldn't hear it also, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's not our best job.
Hey, look, you know, we are interested in sacrificing auditory clarity in the name of
having raw energy.
Having a good time. Yeah, that's this punk aesthetic that we like to bring to you.
But yeah, our pal David, who does a great blog about like kind of like music, labor stuff, and
oh yeah, David is so wonderful.
Yeah, called Penny Fractions. He is talking about busing with UAW to Rochester.
Yeah,
and I also ran into Colleen on the street randomly.
Oh, nice.
Also, has been on the podcast. Colleen Tide, really radical illustrator. Also was talking about busing over there.
Yeah.
And that's like through our friends with the freelance solidarity. So many people.
So at the one strike, we heard about this other strike. And all of the union members from this one union are also going to go support the other union.
But it's a different... The national writers are supporting the UAW.
Yeah, they're their own little thing.
But it's crazy because it's a different UAW than the new museum UAW, but it's like happening in tandem.
Chapters.
And I just feel like there's a big energy right now.
Yeah, everybody is frustrated and they're ready to talk about what they need to live. And I'm excited by it. It gives me a lot of hope.
I think it's fucking rad. And to follow up on that, I'll pull up the Unovo article.
Oh, right. Yeah, so they're with the Teamsters now.
Yeah,
right?
they just unionized, joined by the Teamsters and local polls workers. Preempt UAW anti-union meeting and press management begin to bargain first union contract. Workers join a wave of union organizing in the art world.
Yeah, I mean, it's good.
Yeah, it rocks. But what I think is a very nice development
is that our girl.
Yeah, you want to read the little.
Oh, our girl Julia Salazar is getting down with the cause.
Yeah. I mean, she supported the MoMA workers in the past, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah.
But I think it's great. She showed up to this unannounced and just like, because it's like her district where they're located.
Yeah. Her quote is, "A company like UAW that counts on doing business with city-funded pro-union institutions like the Met and that has asked the city's taxpayers to help subsidize their expansion into my district should be expected to treat their workers with respect," said Senator Salazar. "They should recognize their union immediately. If they continue to hold captive audience meetings and engage in anti-union tactics, then I think it's our obligation as city and state officials to re-examine all of their dealings with public institutions and public funding." Just dope.
That's a good. That's great. Great thing to hold over their fucking heads.
Yeah.
Scare the shit out of them.
Yeah. I like the sound of that. It sounds like, you know, I think what was going on maybe with Salazar was like she kind of, you know, she went upstate, and then I think she was maybe like bombarded with a lot of competing interest in terms of like the real estate kerfuffle that was like, oh wait, we need to possibly talk about restructuring all of these like rent control ordinances or whatever.
And I think she's like genuinely pro worker too. So I think she wanted to be like, I'm trying to be fair to the factory workers,
she didn't realize
this hasn't
like,
been a factory for a long time.
Yeah. Well, I think she knew that, but it seems like there was some competing interest because it was like, oh, you know, I'm going and I'm all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And then she's like, you know what? We need to side with Capital on this one. I was like, no, wait, what? No, no. And then she kind of like course corrected and now has seemed like pretty consistently.
It's just
like,
she didn't take the criticism well. When it was pointed out like, oh, hey, you're actually kind of siding with the wrong, like, this is
no
not,
she took it crazy. She started kind of yelling at us.
Yeah,
I mean, we're like nobody.
I know we're like nobodies, and like, and I'm like somebody who like has like, I campaigned for like her like predecessor, like who was trying to run to the left like before she was, and like I've been skeptical, I'm not somebody who hasn't been paying attention or whatever, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
To her dealings. And it's just like bad faith to read like any criticism as like a fucking, I don't know.
Big
personal attack or something.
Oh, I know. I think that's why I had the feeling that she seemed kind of new. Cause it's like,
you're right, yeah.
Oh, God, look at you. You're getting like visibly distressed by a couple of like constituents just, who
yeah,
don't want bad things to happen.
Like to
are
their
you
pals
serious?
In the loft.
Yeah, like.
I just don't want anyone to get evicted.
Yeah. As loft livers.
Oh, yeah. You were. I've never been a loft liver.
Oh, yeah. Were. I knocked out a good decade in going in and out of loft, so.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Which also at the time was like, yeah, wait, I don't even care. Take them all. Fuck this. Lofts are horrible. Give me a condo.
I'll take anything.
Yeah, but it's cool. She's supporting these delivery folks.
Yeah, I mean the tide is changing. Like, people are understanding that, you know, art workers like they have like weird, precarious, and dangerous jobs, and like it's like something that needs to be organized.
Yeah, I've been thinking more back and forth between like the necessity for protections in this industry and then like the abolishing of this industry, just because I'll paint a very brushy picture so as to keep everybody's anonymity intact for this story. But I'm talking to some friends and they're just like, yeah, we're not really sure about extending the union efforts to the for-profit sector specifically of the art world, because it's just like, I don't want to do anything to support its longevity and feel that it already has gotten to the point where we're pumping so many resources into this weird playground experience that is specifically catered to these horrible, war criminals, basically.
Worst,
all of them are like,
the
just the scum of the earth. The worst people, folks. Bad people. So they're like, you know, they're like accelerationists, I guess, was the takeaway. It's like, you know, we just need to let this specific industry crumble so that we can't allow, like...
But it'll sustain itself.
I know, and that was the other thing that I came to that conclusion, was like, we need to make sure...
That doesn't actually make sense, even from an accelerationist standpoint, that doesn't make sense to me, because...
Yeah.
Like...
Well, what if everybody just, like, stopped working and, you know, and then they had to move their own art? Would they still do it? Would they still find the art as valuable if they had to move it themselves?
They never will lift a finger.
Yeah.
They will never lift a finger. They will find the most impoverished person who needs a dollar.
That's
to
true.
Lift it for them.
That is true. They will go find the bums that sleep under the High Line. And they will
be
like, hey, do you guys want some rye?
Yeah, they'll be like, we just fired our unionized, our newly unionized staff. Do you guys want some work?
I got you.
It's like, can't blame them.
Got you a bottle of old Grindad here. I need someone to move this big old Caldair sculpture.
I'm like, you know, if people are serious about that, they need to be doing a bunch of fucking FOIAs, and protesting every newly announced development, like. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In this fucking city.
Yeah, it's just that people don't have the capacity.
Right, it's too much.
Everyone is putting as much effort as they can into the movements that they can. And that is evidenced by how many people we did see out in the streets, like, hell yeah, I'm not going to work today. I don't want to die. Let's save the planet. Woohoo! Like, people can, you know, they'll show up for things they believe in.
It's, totally.
There is a genuine need and interest for that kind of, like, face time and that.
And they want to feel like they can fit in to, like, maybe you feel the same, but, like, I'm not in a union. I'm like a leech on society. I mean, I know you don't feel like this, but I feel like...
Oh, yeah. I don't feel like a leech because I'm literally... I'm, like, always doing something... I'm always working for someone. Hammering a thing or sanding a thing or, like, building a thing or moving a thing around or, like, writing a thing for somebody or... You know, so it's just, like...
I feel like I don't fit in to any particular...
Like, well, no, you're on Twitter.
But I am on Twitter.
And yeah.
I do enjoy being there.
And I'm not so much on Twitter, so I miss the updates, you know? I gotta like, take all my time.
I'm just a media hound. I'm just a media darling.
A darling! Yes!
I'm just on the beat, on the scene. I'm just a word on the street.
Boots on the ground. Which I'm going to say it's actually, I'm tired of, like, disparaging the media efforts. And we talked a little bit about that, just clearing out all of, you know what? You're valid.
I'm valid.
Your work is important. Intellectual labor is labor.
I'm valid.
Communication is intellectual labor.
Thank you. I mean, I don't know. I'm not being super, super serious right now. But
I know.
Like,
neither of us are in unions. We're just fucking star fuckers.
I don't know. I totally lost track of what I was saying, but I feel better. I feel a little better after just talking to you just now.
Yay!
Whatever the fuck I was gonna say.
Yeah, well, that was the real takeaway then. We're just doing, this is the parasocial therapy session where, like, you get to hear media and you feel better because it writes your sense of reality.
I just got my fingers in a lot of pies and I don't have a lot of time.
Stop doing that.
To take care of all these pies. I just, what am I doing?
You just keep sticking your fingers in all these pies.
Why am I doing that? Don't do that. Just, like, serve people the pies. Like, what are you doing? That's my problem.
Yeah, well, I think it takes them a long time to realize that they might be colonizing slices of pie with their finger germs.
I gotta stop doing that. That's, like, my bad. I just have some, I have to unlearn some bad behavior.
But you can serve the pies. That's still possible. But you just don't put your finger in them and everything will
be
fine.
I'm serving it one right now, recording this episode with you, my friend.
What's up? How long have we been in this pod? We've been in this pod.
Not that long.
It's over a year.
Oh.
We're actually floating. We're floating in the outer reaches of the atmosphere right now.
We've been doing this a really long time. And that does, it's like, it's. It starts to get repetitive. Like, you start to say a lot of the same things. Like, I know, like, when we were talking about off the mic about this new piece by Rhonda Lieberman that I really enjoyed. It is really repetitive based on like the stuff that we've been covering for
it
a
is.
While.
Yeah, it's exciting that we're getting to the point where there's a huge boulder of information to push into people's disinterested minds.
I don't know. I just feel like it's slowly collecting interest. I feel like all of these platforms need to like do it and like get it out there and like slow, and it's like a little katamari that's building.
Yeah, because once you start to see the way that this issue has touched so many like larger spheres of like the industrial military complex and all of the like big pharma. And then you start to really understand the people who are operating all of these institutions. Then you start to understand what people are striking against, and you start to see like the possibility for all of these direct actions to have like beneficial consequence in that environment where there is still a lot of interplay and like FaceTime that you can have with like the enemy.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's like there's certain people who need to hear it from certain people.
Right.
Right? Like, I don't know, like certain people can read Hijo Estrella and be like, I'm on board. What are we going to do about it? Or certain people can see the Nan Golden actions and be like, this rules.
Well, it's hard because even between, you know, it's like we've had discussions with people about like Nan Golden specifically, where everyone had to get through the concept of like performative art action as protest.
Right.
And then subsequently, like seeing
or with
the results.
Hito, like performative theory.
Performative thinking.
Whatever
her she's so delicate.
Love her to death.
Please, though, side note, how is Nan Golden doing since she was arrested?
Right. Don't know.
Nobody knows. How is Nan Golden?
Can we just look at her Instagram?
Is she all right, folks? She does have a tendency to get black eyes.
Looking it up on Instagram.
Looking it up.
I don't see.
On the Instagram now. Yeah, she wasn't tweeting for a while, but she doesn't really do that, so I can't tell.
The Sackler Payne account has tweeted an hour ago.
Oh, that's good. And they're not like, free Nan! So it's probably fine.
And there's no story up, so I don't see anything urgent.
Yeah. So she's just chilling. She had a nice little vacation in the clink, and now she's just taking a break from the public eye.
Yeah, it would be cool if someone followed up on that, eh?
Yeah, it would. I'm the only one who's worried. Like, where's
Nan? Everyone's like, she's fine.
Yeah, honestly, she's always complaining about something. I'm glad that she's gone.
Oh, no. God. Good point, Lucia, as always. But yeah, I kind of liked...
Painting Over the Dirty Truth.
I don't know. I like this Rhonda Lieberman piece. I like she kind of succinctly made a bunch of points I could appreciate the way that she did that.
I guess like okay, so we'll definitely link to this. It has a lot of solid information. I guess we'll pull out some quotes too, but my first instinct reading it was like this deep frustration, and I know I'm just like the emotional processing plant for this pod or something
it's
right now.
Because
I'm like, I feel like this, you guys. But
it's your labor matters.
Thank you. Emotional labor is
it's
intellectual
real.
Labor. What? All right. So there's like the network of people that I've encountered who are professional artists that also have had their work like acquired by institutions, and like things that I've worked on that have gone into institutional settings. I'm definitely like directly involved with this pipeline of creating a product that then is like used in these weird bargaining chips for like the whole tax loophole nonsense that everyone likes to pretend is like philanthropic. The people around me will know this. I know this. Everybody knows this. Yeah. But then I just sit there like, all right, I don't know. I get like,
well, she does have some good, like, kind of prescriptive ending. I'll read that. How about that?
Like, yeah, just we could get to the upshot because every because she goes over upshot. Like she goes over like
picking up my phone. I'm sorry.
Oh no. Yeah, she's talking about decolonize this place. She's talking about a lot of things that we've mentioned on previous episodes. Where like talking about Larry Fink, who's still CEO of BlackRock, who's working at is a chair of MoMA with Leon Black, who is friends with Jeffrey Epstein. And it's always right. like, oh, let's spend a long time talking about how rich, powerful, corrupt people are all friends with each
other.
But
the thing is,
like,
the it's like part that, but then the second part is kind of like a critique of neoliberal identity politics. And then
nice.
The end, she says...
Oh, in the irony-free zone of self?
Yeah. Well, I can read some of that, but I wanted to read the upshot. So, museums are our past masters at putting a respectable face on barbarism. In an increasingly woke world, it is no longer possible for them to deflect outrage. The danger comes when we allow identity politics to placate social justice concerns without fully addressing elite impunity for an exploitative, immoral economy that also happens to be wrecking the planet. Deployed in this all-too-common and cynical fashion, identity politics are used to museums what tax-deductible philanthropy is to the rich, an acceptable way to neutralize dissent and bury past and present crimes. And then she says, what is to be done? The answers are as simple as they are hard to carry out. Institute tax reform onto the current feudal model, redistribute the wealth, though 1% has filched from the people, and provide direct public funding for the arts, not funneled through greedy plurocrats. Until then, on the all-important battlefield of PR, Nan Golden, Hito Strael, and the Whitney dropouts have been shown that prominent artists are the best positioned to take on toxic patrons by refusing to let them trade on their prestige.
Yeah, which is... I mean, it's just like...
It's like, to us, we know.
And that's the kind of
totally.
I hope that everybody has gotten to this point where they realize, oh right, I think it was like when we were still doing episodes with the field recorder, we were sitting there like, oh guys, this is really screwed up. Oh, look at these protests that were going on in the 60s. Oh wait. Hold on.
I know. I just feel like people, they have to hear it over and over again.
These rich people are funding Vietnam War.
They'll never fucking, it'll just take forever. I mean, like.
No, I know. But I think that we're having the wrong conversation. Maybe posit me this. Okay. We're having the wrong conversation because a lot of leftist rhetoric is totally entrenched in this like shocking expose or like this indictment sort of model where you're just supposed to like automatically come to the conclusion where like, oh, of course, like corruption shouldn't exist. And so now I'm going to like act on its, you know, just I'm gonna just tear it asunder and a new world will be born and we'll all the communists songs will flow from the sewers somehow, magically. It's just not, it's like, all right, I get it. And I think a lot of people get it. At least people who are, like, connected to this line of reasoning and inquiry understand that power is connected and corrupt and all of these things are happening because they built the world to allow these things to happen. And in a solution would be like, what if they didn't? Or like, what, we don't let them, but there's no way to not let them. And I think I've been saying this also for a very long time. If you don't make the art for them, they're just going to get their like rich fail son to make an art And it's just going to be like, haha, my art is about driving a truck and it's full of diamonds.
I
and
think then that's going to be the museum. Happening in the mural world, right? That's already happening in the like people like, I don't know. I'm not going to fucking paint a mural for McDonald's or whatever, but like somebody's going to do that.
Sure. Exactly. Like, yeah. It's like there. So there's always going to be a mechanism that allows this fundamental concept of an institution to continue unless we go and start thinking about ways to restructure society outside of this market and like making an overall like change in economy is going to be the solution that's going to fix this.
I'm always like a fucking immediate and then long-term goals person. Like it's like there's things we could do now, and then there's things that aren't going to be possible until, like, way down the line.
Yes. Joey says, can you please make an art about driving a truck full of diamonds, though? And I will.
You just love that image?
I will.
I didn't want to interrupt.
It's fine. I will, though. I'm going to dress up as Failson. I'm going to get a truck and I'm going to make a bunch of paper mache diamonds. And then I'm going to actually make like a VHS tape of it. And then I'm going to send it to all of the board of the MoMA and the Whitney.
Ugh. And then send them an invoice for $30 million.
Yes.
I mean, that's very John Donnell, right? He wrote that book about VHS horror and then he like sent... He like had a special edition VHS version of the book.
And, totally. Yeah. I have some friends also who wrote or they made a bunch of zines and then they like hid them around the MoMA and they were acquired
into the
print
MoMA
collection. Yeah. It's like there's still funny things that can happen.
There definitely are.
But I don't know. I just think it's annoying whenever someone who's like, look, I'm a cultural critic, and I just think people should stop making this kind of art because that's what the problem is. It's totally all tied together, and I'll, like, talk to you for paragraphs.
I mean, I agree, but I don't think that that's what this piece was really on. I think it...
No, but it is, like, the... You know, I'm just reaching a saturation point.
No, I think that's like, fair. I think, like, that's fair that, like, you know, we literally do this podcast every fucking week, like, and, like, we know all.
Yeah, but it's honestly, it's like the answers are clear. People can make art. People should be allowed to make art. And it's like about what you want it to be about because it's your art. It's the most subjective thing on the planet. Stop pretending that there's a hierarchy. Stop pretending that it has a lot of effect on other experiences in life and realize, you know, okay, if your house is burning, then stop painting for a minute or doing whatever and then just like go out and maybe go to the, you know, fire department or call 911 or something, but don't just be like, maybe I should paint something different or like maybe we need to tweak the thing inside of the house. It's like, no, you need to get out of the house if it's on fire and you need to, I don't know, the metaphor is very like rudimentary, but I just keep wishing someone, maybe this is what I gotta do, is start addressing like, okay, here's how like tax structures will fundamentally change the way that we experience the art world.
I mean, that's literally
here's
what
how,
she
like,
says in the piece. Yeah. Like, that's her takeaway is like, if in lieu of a total rehaul of the tax structure, this is what I suggest. Like,
I know. She, like, but yeah, what it's she like, says. No, but yeah. Not in lieu of, we should just go into that reality where we're like, all right, this is the, like, we need to think about making an area of non-interference for each individual to have the time and space to make art that they want to create. And it, we can't sacrifice like personal liberty.
Yeah, but that's what's hot right now. And that's what's hot on the market, Lucia. Everyone wants it.
Sacrificing personal liberty?
No, people, I'm just saying.
Oh,
like
what?
Social, like people want. People, yeah, I mean, honestly, though, that's what's hot on the market is social practice art and, like,
yeah.
People, like, sacrificing their, what the they want for themselves and making whatever socially engaged art or whatever the fuck. Like, that's what's fucking hot right now. That's what people want.
No, that's true. It is true.
And to a certain extent, people do want to make that art and are making that choice. So it's hard to like hit the line of being like, well, why are you doing that? Are you doing that because you feel like obligated societally to do that? Or are you doing that because you just have come to that conclusion on your own and want to do it? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
And that's what, it's creepy. It's creepy because at the end of the day, and I guess now I'm just retreading the things that I wrote about philanthropy.
Yeah.
But
people should read that on our Patreon.
I actually, I gave you the wrong, I emailed you the wrong format because there's one where I preface that there's going to be a chapter two, which dissects the concepts of the art that is being funded by the Ford Foundation, which, you know, so there's like a panel of a whole bunch of like business magnates and like, you know, car tycoons or whatever. And they're like, oh, wow, I'm so happy that I gave money to these people of color who are teaching.
Oh, and Decolonize's new thing is to protest the Ford Foundation.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's their new thing right now. Oh, that's like their new campaign. I'll pull that up right now.
Oh, dang. Yeah, well, the Ford Foundation is deep into the madness. It's
totally.
It's one of the oldest organizations built out of the blood of the workers' movement.
And, oh my God, 38 minutes ago.
Oh, yes.
Pull that up.
Okay. Just out in hyperallergic, Ford Foundation, no, this is just the beginning. No new jails is the floor, not the ceiling. If they built it, they will fill it. Prison abolitionist protests outside Ford Foundation.
Yeah, they're tying like a new jail to the Ford Foundation and protesting.
Yeah.
That.
Well, they're crazy. They're one of the largest organizations that, you know, gives like the most money to spread democracy all over the world. And they have their fish hooks in the art world as well. But it's all like SJW art.
I've noticed that a lot of people are starting to make that same conclusion about the Ford Foundation. I noticed it on Chapo. I noticed it with some people that we met who have also like kind of gotten to that.
I'm feeling very good about writing a piece months ago.
You're good. You're on it.
Yeah, but I wish that I wasn't in a little cave by myself.
You're not. Like, hey, what? Art and labor doodle bitches, sound off if you heard Lucia on this for a long time.
Hey, philanthropists, they're weird. Yeah, this whole thing started because of a labor, like crushing labor.
Yeah.
And there was like a huge massacre where there was like, you know, Secret Service G-men who were working for the Fords that just took machine guns and fired into a crowd of UAW protesters. And then the Fords felt so bad about it's just like the massacre. Then they were like, oh, let's get into philanthropy. We'll start here. Yeah. And we'll just give people some money to apologize. And then that spun out into like, wow, this is working so well. You know, we only have a couple more issues to quell, like the protests where people were just trying to pamphlet for a living wage.
I mean, it's blowing my mind with the strike, with the UAW strike happening right now.
Yeah, this is the beginning. The UAW,
and they tried to do a similar massacre, right? They took away their health insurance at first.
Well, it's a little bit different.
I know it's different, but like this is how capitalism is adjusting, right? They're trying to find ways to get people on the ropes, to kill them, to like gut them, whatever, like in ways that are acceptable now. You see Trump talking about this. You see Trump saying like, back in the old days when we could murder people, you know?
Yeah, basically.
That's like kind of the line. And it's like, so it's good to keep this historical context in mind with the UAW strike and with all this stuff happening. Yeah. And that's why it's cool. Like, I'll just read the first part of this. Over 50 protesters gathered outside the Ford Foundation's Manhattan headquarters, responding to the foundation president's statement in support of New York City's plan to close Rikers prison complex and build a smaller detention facilities in its place.
Why? Wait, so are they like...
But it's...
It's like the same logic that they're using to build more condos when there are already empty condos. They're like, well, we have this prison and there's prisoners in it, but what if we have another prison?
Yeah, and everyone's like, no.
And then we just put
free the prisoners.
Yeah, that's
and that's what's crazy. It ties to, like, you know, the homeless shelter that they're trying to place in my neighborhood, right?
Sure.
And the dog whistles that
did
they're
you
using
hear
there.
Also, there was a little whisper over the rezoning of Industry City that mentioned Amazon.
Great.
And it was so...
They're back, baby.
Yes, but I don't know how, because in the articles about Industry City, there was just this mention of, like, X amount of square footage is going to go to these, you know, retail spaces and these large corporations. And then they listed
shudder.
A bunch of God. Names, but Amazon was in there. And I'm like,
hello.
Are they just moving into Industry City and not talking about
well,
it with anybody?
I mean, we called this back when... We were covering
I don't
the,
know.
Like,
I, yeah, I but, just want somebody to sound off if they've heard anything because
no,
I've been looking
know.
Around.
We know
like,
that like they were planning on just kind of dispersing Amazon into smaller new developments.
Right.
Like we've known
they're just
this.
Not making a big headquarters and they're just going to increase like their
right.
fulfillment.
So like
centers
anytime there's like a big new thing like Hudson Yards 2, 3, 4, 5, they'll just move in inch by inch to
right.
in those things. Like
yeah.
this is exactly it. That's
oh my
exactly
God, that's
it.
So
right.
insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's no major push against it. Nobody is like, also you talk about like the accountability or the sort of like whistleblowing against building these structures and just like sort of decimating local communities. It's like, well, fine, I guess we can just let this one slide because nobody knows the nature of the industry in question. I don't know.
It's heinous. It's heinous that we're not using everything that we learned from Hudson Yards that they stole funds allocated to fix NYCHA, which the people
yeah.
in NYCHA are slowly being murdered by the state mm-hmm. that for desperate like lead abatement that needed to be done decades ago. They don't have like clean water. Like there's like it's a crisis, and they took money from that crisis for people who are sick and ill and need help and
oh,
gave
yeah.
it to this structure nobody needs. That's
oh,
just like funneling a business from 59th Street Columbus Circle to a slightly different location, and then like the 59th Street Columbus one will just like go out of business, and then there's like just this new one, and then now
but
there's
an
empty
thing. But
that's the thing.
We can't concentrate on so many like ugly, dirty things that are like really negative and sad. Like
you're harshing my vibes.
Look,
you are harshing my vibes. You're literally attacking me.
I pay.
You are literally murdering me with a knife.
I pay $400 an hour to talk myself into medication just so that I don't have to pay attention to what you're saying. So could you just make it easier for me and die?
Can you just fucking die?
Can
you just die for me? Because you're
like,
killing me right
but
now.
Like away.
But like over there. I don't
yes.
want to see it.
Like,
in my periphery, because that's going to stress me out.
Under me, I want to
I'm a
look...
bad bitch. I'm a boss lady.
Bad boss.
I'm like fucking on it.
Look, I need to go on vacation, okay? I deserve
every
this
month.
Because I've always wanted to go away and enjoy myself. And I'm really glad that you worked for me. But now...
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Now you can just go die.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, folks.
She becomes Trump.
Bye-bye. Yeah, dude.
Just
oh
like anamorphs into Trump.
Yeah, just... oh, my God. But that would mean if you anamorph into Trump, you would have had to touch that horrible fucking toxic sack of shit.
Yeah, dude.
To get the essence in you.
You gotta touch
the
shit. It's goop. It's good goop.
No.
It's good goop for you.
Don't listen.
Oh, yeah. It's good. It's that good Gwyneth Paltrow goop.
It's the bad goop. That's the anti-goop. The real goop is Venom, and everybody knows.
Folks,
he's
everybody
the OG enemy marks.
Who listens to us. Everyone knows that the good goop is the OG anime marks Venom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. OJ. OJ. OJ marks. Because he's a killer.
Oh, fuck.
But you can't get him down.
God damn. Okay. The other thing we need to bring up before